This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., wealth management specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Vice President J.D. Vance speaking at the southern border. We'll share that with you in just a matter of moments. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. It's great to have you with us. I appreciate you being here today. It's a big day as we recap the president's speech, which I thought was outstanding. Hey, join the fun. We're streaming live on YouTube right now. And you can also tweet me, of course, at Rich Zeoli. Daniel Turner is president and founder, executive director of Power the Future. He's fighting the crazy commies and the Marxists every day and fighting for American energy dominance. What's up, my man?
Rich, it's great to be on with you. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, first of all, I think you and I solved the Dana Perino question today regarding Lent. I don't know if you noticed, I chimed in on your comment and I said you were spot on.
I did, exactly. And it's a good question, and I've had a number of fights with other Catholics about this, who try to convince me that Sundays count. And I'm like, nope, Sundays are always a celebration of the resurrection, and you're not supposed to fast, you're not supposed to abstain. Quite frankly, if you want to be super serious, you're not even supposed to get married, or you're not supposed to use the Sunday liturgy. Sunday is just about the resurrection and nothing else, and all fasting and observances go. Now, a lot of people continue on Sunday. My dad, may he rest in peace, always did. I give myself Sunday off, and I go back to drinking and smoking and eating all the food I want.
I like the Daniel Turner strategy on Lent. I think we can all get behind that. That's very true. But it's funny, though. It's a debate.
I was packing my bag this morning to go on a trip, and I threw in a pack of cigarettes, and I thought, oh, God, it's Ash Wednesday. The attitude of a wonderful Catholic, right? It's, oh, come on, Ash Wednesday. So we're off to a bad start, and I'm starving.
Well, it was easy for me. I said, I don't drink during the week. We only drink wine on Sundays, except, of course, if I'm going on America's Newsroom on Monday morning. You know, like, hint, hint, Dana. You know, that wasn't too obvious or anything. All right, so let's talk about last night, the speech of the president. Yeah. First of all, give me Daniel Turner's grade on the speech.
Well, you know, I was A plus without a doubt, and I think it's the type of assertive rhetoric we have needed for a long time. The days of trying to play the niceties are done. You know, I watch these things for a living, as I know you do. When President Biden entered the room, the Republicans stood and applauded. The First Lady, when Dr. Jill Biden entered the gallery, the Republicans stood and applauded. And so if you're not going to play those niceties with us, then why are we bothering? And I thought it was great that the president laid out what a disaster the previous administration was and called them out by name. I'm not surprised that their little antics, their signs gave social media a plethora of fun memes. But I thought he did a great job. And I think that's the type of tough guy Republican I've been waiting for my entire life.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, just take the gloves off and fight these people, because that's all that they've been doing is fighting to destroy this country. And, you know, I'm sick of Republicans being nice. I'm sick of Republicans acting, because, you know, you only hear cries of bipartisanship whenever there's a Democrat in the White House. And then we're told that we have to work with them and we got to be bipartisan and we need purple and blah, 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 blah. The minute there's a Republican in the White House, all the Democrats want to do is obstruct. And it's time. And Trump doesn't play that game. And early on, that's one of the reasons why they tried to stop him. And he's a fighter. And look, I mean, a guy came at him with a cane last night. I mean, yeah. You know, that's how crazy these people are. Freaking Al Green coming after him with a cane.
Yeah, and outside of that, name something Al Green has done in 20 years in the Senate and in the Congress. And that's the problem I have with these folks, right? I know who Al Green is because I do this for a living. Have most people ever seen him, heard? Has he authored any legislation? Has anything ever come out of Congress? 20 years he's been in that job. Has anything, is anyone in Texas's life a little bit better because of Al Green? And that's my frustration with really both sides, but especially the Democrats in Congress. They sit up there and they posture and they yell, but they do nothing to actually improve the lot of the American people. Heck, they couldn't even stand for a little kid with cancer. They couldn't stand for the children of fallen police officers, the 95-year-old mother whose son was released from Russian hostage. They couldn't stand for anything. So what? Where is the common ground to reach across the aisle? Hell no. Those days are done. And now we have to defeat you in every possible way.
Yeah, exactly right, Daniel Turner. Daniel Turner's with me. It's great to have him. Power the Future. We're talking about President's speech last night, obviously. They couldn't clap for a kid with cancer, a young woman who was bullied, the family of Corey Compitore. I mean, I could go on and on. Let me ask you this. So last night, of course, he said, we're going to drill, baby, drill, and we got all this liquid gold underneath us. The question that I have for you, and you are the expert when it comes to energy, by far. I mean, of all the voices out there, whenever I have a question I need answered, I immediately go to Daniel Turner and Power the Future. So, obviously, when the president talks about Canada becoming the 51st state, it's not just something to needle Trudeau, although that's a big part of it. And I love that when he calls him Governor Trudeau. But even today, Caroline Leavitt doubled down on at the White House today. My analysis of this, and tell me if I'm crazy, is that he's thinking about the next 100-150 years. He looks at Russia, he looks at China, he looks at the Gulf states, and he thinks they've got energy, they've got oil, they got natural gas. What they don't have are climate change lunatics who will stop the development of those things. But we could have that in the United States of America. And so we need to be thinking of the next manifest destiny and expand. And a big reason for that is because we need to control the oil and natural gas in the Western Hemisphere.
I think you're absolutely spot on. I think that's the way he sees Greenland as well. And quite frankly, that is the spirit of Seward when he bought Alaska 150 plus years ago. It's that same understanding of this is valuable land. There are lots of resources here. Let's bring it into the country and let's develop it responsibly for the benefit of our American people. And so I think he looks at it in the exact same way. I think he sees Canada as tremendous potential that is untapped. It's got a lot of flaws, like a lot of Western liberal nations, parliamentary nations, especially those that are governed by weak individuals. But I think he sees it as tremendous potential, comparing it to our great Western states in terms of ranching and timber and metals and minerals and clearly oil and gas as well. So I think you're absolutely spot on. And
because Canada has a lot of oil and gas, does it not?
Tremendous amounts, yeah, and so much so that we don't even know how much is there. And I can say the same thing about Alaska. When we talk about places like Anwar, they say there are X number of barrels. Those are great estimates, but no one really knows because we've never really done the proper analysis of it. So who knows how much oil and gas is actually in Canada? Who knows how much actual timber or what other discoveries we may find? And the way we're moving at the speed of technology, the metals, the minerals, the rare earths, the nickel, the cobalt and lithium and graphite that we need, we can't even begin to mine it with our current capabilities. So that's where the next arms race is going to be. It's going to be in the race for these metals and minerals. China right now is crushing us, and I think President Trump sees Canada as a way to check China and put them back put them back in the back seat.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you look at a map, Daniel Turner, and, you know, obviously, I mean, there could always be a situation where Russia and China could get into another war. But the real threat becomes when those two become you know, besties, and then they involve other countries like Iran, and then other countries like Dubai, who, you know, the great scam of them hosting the climate change summit while literally building islands to drill in the ocean, you know, off of their country, while they're telling it, while they're giving everybody, you know, paper cups and paper straws at the climate change conference. The thing about America and Canada is that we elect stupid people sometimes who will do disastrous things for the future, like invest in windmills and solar panels and that nonsense, versus what Russia, China, and the Gulf states are going to do, which is drill and frack and control that so that in 25 years, we, the United States of America, may be begging them, or worse, we may be putting money in Putin's pocket. When the president said last night that all these European nations have given Vladimir Putin more money than they've given Ukraine. Daniel, it's $1 trillion in 2024 alone that the European countries who are supposedly fighting Russia in this war have given Vladimir Putin.
And that goes to show how inauthentic this entire debate is, right? And when you're spending that much money in fossil fuel purchases from who the man you consider to be your arch enemy, well, you know, then I think there's an awful lot of hypocrisy there. And the silly thing is that they would rather do that than develop their own fossil fuel resources. I mean, one of the world's great oil companies is BP, which was British Petroleum. And yet BP doesn't even want to be a petroleum company anymore, but they would rather buy it from the person they pretend is their enemy, but actually is not. I thought Putin's announcement to President Trump that we have more of these minerals than Ukraine, maybe we should be entering into a deal. You know, countries that trade together and work together and have tied in mutual economic interests don't normally go to war together. And wouldn't that be a better way of world peace? I think that's why the Ukraine mineral deal was so important. It ties America's economic interests to its military interests and vice versa. But that was blown up, and that's tragic, right? We need to develop more of these relations with our friends, and I'm glad you point out China, who is the only enemy that we have. Russia's an adversary, there's no doubt. We have lots of adversaries and tough competition. But China is our flat-out enemy, and China is, quite frankly, the world's enemy, and if we don't team up together to defeat them, it's going to end very badly.
And Daniel Turner, talk to me about Greenland, talk to me about the Arctic, and talk to me about that part of the world that, you know, everybody thought it was kind of funny when President Trump said we want to buy Greenland, but I mean, we don't even know yet the full extent of the Arctic, and, you know, to the point that you made about Anwar earlier, of the energy potential for that region. There's also, I think, geopolitical reasons why we'd want it in terms of potential military defense. But just give me the sense of why you think the president wants Greenland.
Well, same reasons as Canada, same metals and minerals and resources. But I think geopolitically, its location is what's most important. If I were the president, that's what I would see. And I don't think it's at all because of Russia. I think it's mostly because of China. China occupies waters that are not being controlled. Russian submarines have been listening to us and monitoring our naval ships for 70 years. That's not going to change. I don't think anyone is really afraid that Russia is going to launch some sort of attack on America. But if we're not in that part of the world, China will be. And China is aggressively pursuing interests in the Arctic, and it's starting to move into other areas. And so I think having America dominate the entire Atlantic, all the way from the coast of Maine, basically to Ireland, I think it prevents China from moving in. And that would be a very beneficial thing to us. So I think that's the main interest in Greenland. I think the president also, kind of like presidents of old, he likes manifest destiny. He likes expanding. He's not content with our footprint as yay big. Why can't we be bigger? Why can't we be stronger? Why can't we be better? I think that's his mentality. And anyone who's seen his hotels or casinos know that's how he thinks. And that's how he thinks about America. It's a paradigm shift, but I think it's kind of welcome after a while, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It really, really is. And I think that you bring up his hotels, his casinos, his golf courses. I mean, that's just he thinks like a developer. He thinks big, and it's refreshing. It really is. It could provide us the security we need, both from an energy and a military perspective, for the next 150 years. And I'm glad he's thinking that far ahead. Daniel Turner, Power of the Future, powerofthefuture.com, and follow him on X. You can join in our Lenten conversation at Daniel Turner PTF. Thanks, my friend. Good luck getting through the next few days up until Sunday, all right? We're all going to be praying for you.
Thanks, Rich. I appreciate it.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, I'm going to jump in here. The vice president is taking questions at the southern border right now. He spoke, Tulsi Gabbard spoke, Pete Hegseth spoke, and the vice president's taking questions. So let's jump in here and take a listen.
A number of industries have reached out to us to ask us for exceptions to the tariffs, but I think the president's been very clear here that he wants the tariffs to apply broadly. He doesn't want to have 500 different industries getting 500 different carve-outs, and the way to avoid application of the tariffs is to have your factory and have your facility in the United States of America. That is the way. Invest in America. That is how you will avoid being penalized by these tariffs.
KSAT 12, John Paul Barajas, you've been talking about the improvements that your administration has done here with the crossings. Can you talk about the decline prior to President Trump taking office under the Biden administration?
Well, I think like so many Americans, apparently members of the Mexican drug cartel figured out in November and December after the election that Joe Biden was asleep at the wheel and they had to be dealing with the then president-elect and now president. If you look at what drove the declines before the inauguration, people will tell you they knew that Donald Trump was coming back into office. They knew he was going to take border enforcement seriously. And so they were already getting ahead of actually cutting down those illegal crossing numbers. We saw that from the Mexican government, of course, because we were threatening some economic sanctions against them. But we also saw it from the cartels themselves. And even today, because, of course, it doesn't, you know, it takes a little time to get from the deepest parts of Central America to the American southern border. What we often find is that there are massive numbers of illegal immigrants who have already started to make the trek and have decided, you know what, because Donald Trump's president, we're going to go back home. We heard today about a Honduran group of migrants who decided they're just going to go back home because they recognize that under Donald Trump's leadership, we take border enforcement seriously. Thank you all. Take care.
Okay. I'm sorry, Kirk. I thought you were going to back it up a little bit for us. Wait, you know what we do? Here's what we do. If we can, are we able to back it up to the start of the questions by chance?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do that. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll take the beginning of the questions. It's not much longer than that, but just they asked some questions regarding the border and some other things, too, that we'll jump into. But I want to let you know, because it's springtime and you see the rain out there, that means your grass is about to come back. The question that I have for you is, are you ready for your grass to come back? If not, it's time for you to call my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America, because you are going to get greener grass with fewer weeds guaranteed. That's the bottom line. Their safer, more organic approach to lawn care means you'll have your lawn will be the envy of the neighborhood. Beautiful green grass with fewer weeds, safer for your pets, safer for the kiddos. And unlike all these other big weed companies out there that come by your house and just, you know, spray your lawn and then move on, Natural Lawn takes the time to figure out what your lawn needs, because your lawn is unique. It's different from your neighbor's lawn. And so Natural Lawn of America is going to take the time to figure that out and to assess that. That's what you need. And here's the best part. You will get free seed. That's right. Every year they will seed your lawn for free. That's right. Once a year. And that overseeding makes such a big difference. All you got to do is just call them at 1-800-FREE-SEED. 1-800-FREE-SEED. Natural Lawn of America, they are the absolute best. That's why I'm so happy I've been using them, because I love the results. I love that it's safer for the kids. I love the fact that it's customized to my specific lawn, and I love that they will seed my lawn for free every single year. 1-800-FREE-SEED. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Tiger. All right. right, so let's jump in here. The vice president down at the border with Tulsi Gabbard, the director of national intelligence, the secretary of defense, Pete Hegseth. It's a big deal. They went down to Texas to talk about all kinds of different issues. And we're not going to play all the speeches just for lack of time. But the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Before I jump into that, I just want to mention, here are some of the moments Democrats refused to clap for. Not all of them, but some of them. The capturing of an ISIS terrorist mastermind, who masterminded the Abbeygate attack, a young boy fighting brain cancer, Americans joining the military in record numbers, taking down illegal revenge porn, the return of American Mark Fogel, and a student getting accepted to West Point. Those are just some of the moments the Democrats did not applaud, because they're freaking nuts. Their anger and their bitterness, and I'm just saying, Dave Portnoy's nose is even redder than mine. He's on Will Cain's show right now. I'm just saying, that guy's got worse rosacea than I do, or maybe he hit a little bit of the holy wine today. No judgment. I'm not going to judge El Presidente, Stool Presidente. I would never do that. Here's the vice president down at the southern border. Take a listen.
And now we'll take some questions from reporters. Sir.
So, as you guys have been exemplifying for today, that border crossings are down. A lot of attention has been turned to the interior, since obviously there's been a lot of illegal immigrants.
Sure.
What is, in your opinion, the biggest obstacle to actually carrying out President Trump's mass deportations? Even though, yes, like, apprehensions and arrests and deportations have gone up in his first month, but a lot of people are expecting a bigger capacity for deportation. So what's the biggest
problem? So let me say a few things about that. So first of all, Rome wasn't built in a day, and we have seen pretty significant increases in deportations and apprehensions and arrests. But we have to remember that President Biden gutted the entire immigration enforcement regime of this country. We are trying to rebuild so that we actually empower people to enforce the immigration laws of the American people. It is common sense. It's what the American people want us to do. There are a couple of other things that we're working on, and I don't want to get ahead of any public announcements. But, you know, one of the ways that we wanted to make sure that we're enforcing our border is that we make it easier for people who are here illegally to go back home of their own accord. We don't want to have to go around and arrest every person, but we will enforce the American people's immigration laws. If you're here illegally, the message from our administration is you should go back home. And if you want to come to the United States, apply through the proper channels. That's an important thing that we're doing. And the final thing is this costs money. One of the most important parts of the president's reconciliation priorities is, of course, tax reform on the one hand, and on the other hand, making sure that we get proper resources so that we can pay for the flights, and we can pay for the detention centers, and we can pay for all the components necessary to ensure that we're re-migrating illegal immigrants back to their country of origin. I guarantee it is a part of the president's priorities. We'll keep on working on it. We've made a lot of progress, but we're going to keep on working on it over the remainder of the president's term.
Please.
Yeah, go ahead.
Mr. Vice President, I want to ask you about border wall and tariffs. But first on the border wall, how do you and the president...
Could you see your outlet, by the way, when you guys ask questions?
Yeah, Reagan Reese, Daily Caller.
Thank you.
We love
how
Reagan.
How do you and the president define success this term with the border wall, and how much of the southern border wall needs to be walled off before Trump leaves office?
Well, look, I think the president's hope is that by the end of the term, we build the entire border wall. And of course, that's the physical structure, the border wall itself. But we even heard today there are so many good technological tools, so many great artificial intelligence-enabled technologies that allow us, for example, you know, a camera, not a person, but a camera picks up somebody 2 miles away who's about to come across the southern border. Maybe it's livestock, right? Maybe it's a critter in the desert. Maybe it's a human being with a weapon on their back. We're using artificial intelligence to make us better at the job of border enforcement, but we've got to make sure that technology is deployed across the entire American southern border. We're going to do it as much as we can, as broadly as we can, because that's how we're going to protect the American people's security.
On the curbs on the
Yeah, go ahead.
Last time they were paused because they deployed 10,000 troops to the border. What can they do this time to make the tariffs go away?
Well, what the president has said is we need a sustained commitment from the government of Mexico to take the job of border security seriously. Fentanyl is the single largest cause of death among young Americans, and we know that a substantial portion of it is, you know, the precursors are made in China. They come to Mexico, they're manufactured in Mexico and brought across the border by the Mexican drug cartels. We want to see fewer Americans dying of these terrible fentanyl overdoses when we're going to apply as much leverage as possible to the Mexican government as possible. You know, in some ways, look, the president obviously cares deeply about the American people. He serves the American people first. I actually think he's doing a huge favor to the people of Mexico, because if they don't get control of these cartels, the people of Mexico are going to wake up in a narco state where the cartels have more power than their own government. President Trump is trying to help. The Mexican government needs to take this issue of immigration enforcement seriously. In the back, yeah.
Mr. Vice President, Ali Bradley, News Nation. So since the designation of the cartels as terrorists, does that give the United States a green light to go into Mexico and to strike them there? I mean, right now, obviously, they've struck in the Houthis in Yemen. So why not, when we've seen cross-border violence, go after them in Mexico? And then my second question is about a designation. I'll follow up on, please.
Well, go ahead and ask the second question.
Why isn't the Juarez / La Linea cartel designated when it's in one of the most deadliest places on the planet? Juarez has been designated as one of the deadliest cities. It's right across from El Paso. We've talked to community leaders. They say, we know Juarez cartels operating in the U.S., and so are their affiliates. We don't even want to talk about it out loud, though, because then we'll put a target on our back. They're scared. Border Patrol even thought they were designated, but they're not. The State Department didn't tell me why.
So on that, we're looking at additional organizations. Obviously, this is the determination of whether to determine a particular organization, a terrorist organization, is something that we consult with our leaders of the Department of Defense. We also consult with our friends in other governments. We maintain the optionality to designate further organizations, terrorist organizations, if we feel that we need to, in order to protect the American people. And I think President Trump has made it very clear he's not going to be shy about designating some of these cartel organizations as terrorists if he thinks he has to protect the American people. Your first question was about
American forces to strike.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. So look, I'm not going to make any announcements about any invasions of Mexico here today. The president has a megaphone, and of course, he'll speak to these issues as he feels necessary. But what designating cartel organizations allows us to do is deploy the full resources of the United States military to engage in serious border enforcement. Of course, the president is going to make the determination about how we deploy those forces. But our hope is that Mexico takes this job seriously. We don't want to have negative relationships with the Mexican government. We want the Mexican government to help itself, but also in the process to help the American people by taking these organizations seriously. It's going to destabilize the entire country of Mexico, the entire government, if they don't take it more seriously. We're hopeful that they will. And if they don't, then of course, we'll figure out what to do from there.
To Vice President, speaking at the border right now.
You just mentioned something about invasion of Mexico. Is there any talk or any thoughts about actually U.S. military forces going into Mexico?
No. Next question.
On tariffs, are any of the industries other than the automotive reaching out to you guys to carve out special deals? And did the automotive industry know this was coming before today?
Well, a number of industries have reached out to us to ask us for exceptions to the tariffs, but I think the president's been very clear here that he wants the tariffs to apply broadly. He doesn't want to have 500 different industries getting 500 different carve-outs, and the way to avoid application of the tariffs is to have your factory and have your facility in the United States of America. That is the way. Invest in America. That is how you will avoid being penalized by these tariffs.
Last question. KSAT 12, John Paul Barajas. You've been talking about the improvements that your administration has done here with the crossings. Can you talk about the decline prior to President Trump taking office under the Biden administration?
Well, I think like so many Americans, apparently members of the Mexican drug cartel figured out in November and December after the election that Joe Biden was asleep at the wheel and they had to be dealing with the then president-elect and now president. If you look at what drove the declines before the inauguration, people will tell you they knew that Donald Trump was coming back into office. They knew he was going to take border enforcement seriously. And so they were already getting ahead of actually cutting down those illegal crossing numbers. We saw that from the Mexican government, of course, because we were threatening some economic sanctions against them. But we also saw it from the cartels themselves. And even today, because, of course, it doesn't, you know, it takes a little time to get from the deepest parts of Central America to the American southern border. What we often find is that there are massive numbers of illegal immigrants who have already started to make the trek and have decided, you know what, because Donald Trump's president, we're going to go back home. We heard today about a Honduran group of migrants who decided they're just going to go back home because they recognize that under Donald Trump's leadership, we take border enforcement seriously. Thank you all. Take care.
Okay, that's the vice president speaking today at the southern border. No plans soon to invade Mexico. So that's a pretty funny question. But the drug cartels, that's a different story. And obviously, the vice president saying we would like Mexico to work with us on this. That would be very, very nice. That would be good. All right. I want to share with you a couple more things that from the speech last night with the president. And we'll have Congressman Dan Muser joining us in roughly about 10 minutes or so to get his take on things. But I want to some of the reactions from the left have been just absolutely insane. No doubt about that. I mean, they've been crazy. And I think that when you try to make sense of this, you try to make sense of the Democrats, you can't. You really can't, because it's a party that has lost its way in such a ridiculous manner. You even have guys like Stephen A. Smith calling them out. Remember yesterday we played you that clip of 22 different senators all saying the exact same thing in advance of President Trump's speech? Remember I warned you. I said this is going to be brutal stuff to listen to. I'm not going to play it again, but I did warn you, and we could only tolerate a few seconds of it. It started with three, and then it got up to 18, and then by the end of the day it was at least 22 senators, maybe more. Literally all saying the exact same thing at the same time in separate videos, but somebody put together a compilation of all of them and played that over. So you even have Stephen A. Smith calling them out on how freaking crazy that is and trying to understand why they would do that. Cut 29.
Now you see why Stephen A. Smith was in the polls as a presidential candidate? You see what I'm talking about? You see that idiocy right there? You talk about something, people being tone deaf. Why the hell would 22 Democratic senators be literally echoing the same thing and think that would resonate with the American people? All it shows is that the same fabric of our democracy is unchanging in the eyes of some of these officials, and as a result, the constituency they represent, which is why Donald Trump is in office. What, do I have to come up to Capitol Hill and give you lessons? Seriously, you don't get it? All you did, Elizabeth Warren, Cory Booker, Chuck Schumer. Let's all get together. Let's put this in a prompter, and all together, albeit in separate rooms, we'll grab a microphone and say the same damn thing. And that's what's going to resonate with the American people. And then you wonder why you're no longer in power. Mm-hmm. You wonder why Trump is in the White House.
Exactly right. You know what I loved last night? So I'm a big believer in cutting down the size of government, ending the weaponization of government, and freedom of speech. And all of that was the theme of the speech last night, stuff that I loved. I really did. I loved it. And I love that the president said we've ended the weaponization of government. And I love that he made that little sly comment about when they went after political enemies, me, how that work out, and how we are saving free speech in America. And again, the Democrats didn't even clap for freedom of speech. They didn't clap for freedom of speech. They refused to do that. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. So here's the president last night talking about ending the weaponization of government. One of my favorite parts of the speech, personally, cut number four.
And we have ended weaponized government where, as an example, a sitting president is allowed to viciously prosecute his political opponent, like me. How did that work out?
Not too good for them.
Not too good. And I have stopped all government censorship and brought back free speech in America. It's back.
Democrats refuse to clap for that, for free speech. They hate free speech. And they love weaponization of government.
And 2 days ago, I signed an order making English the official language of the United States of America.
You know, it was funny last night, I watched that speech. My wife turned to me and said, it wasn't? I said, no, it wasn't. She goes, what was? I said, nothing. She was like, Yeah, I know. I mean, I think most people will just assume that, but most countries have an official language. It unifies a culture. It brings people together. It doesn't mean you go to jail if you don't speak it, but it becomes our official language, and it's a good thing. And by the way, you can't become a citizen of the United States if you don't learn English. So that's part of the citizenship test. And of course, the president talked about slashing regulations, which I think is really important to do because there's way too much government, way too many regulations, way too many things that shackle the economy. I love how he talked about how we got it with the permitting delays. You know, it'll take 10 years to get a permit approved and then or 20 years, 30 years, and then they'll just kill the project anyway. I like that he said all that last night in the speech. Cut number 11.
To unshackle our economy, I have directed that for every one new regulation, 10 old regulations must be eliminated, just like I did in my very successful first term.
There you go. Excellent stuff right there. Excellent stuff. And we're gonna slash waste, fraud, and abuse. And that's also really important because there's so much of that. We'll get back to that. But we're going to have Congressman Dan Muser joining us in just a matter of moments. So take a quick break. Don't go away. We're coming right back.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Yeah, baby. It's a big day today. Great speech last night. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Scioli. Joining me now, my man, Congressman Dan Muser. He fights for Pennsylvania every day in the House of Representatives. Hey, Congressman, how are you today?
Rich, I've never been better. We are rolling. We had a great night last night. It's great to talk to you.
Yeah, it really was a great speech. I mean, you know, I'm always objective with these things, but I had to give it an A+. I just thought it was positive. It was uplifting. But I mean, the behavior of your colleagues on the left, my God, I mean, Congressman, holy cow, these people, I would say juvenile, but honestly, that's an insult to children. I've seen better behaved children.
You know, well said. You know, the only thing that it didn't eclipse it, but came close to matching the president's delivery on the border, on energy, on spending, on pro-growth initiatives, was the Democrats very sad, very pathetic, very, you know, disappointing but not surprising, but somewhat surprising, attitude, demeanor, I mean, actions. I mean, you know, it started when Melania Trump came out, and I was like, gee whiz, what do you have against Melania Trump? I mean, they've done that before, but at least they clapped. This time, no clapping. And then it just went from there. I mean, you know, of course, the young boy with cancer, who they badged with a Secret Service acknowledgement, and they didn't even clap or stand.
No.
Or all they did was grimace. You know, the Lake and Riley, I mean, the young man who got into West Point accepted nothing, no standing. I mean, it just didn't make any sense. And, you know, unfortunately, America saw where the left is. I mean, they're completely out of touch. They hated the idea of a woman, a young woman who was psychologically destroyed by a transgender student counselor whack job in her school, and they were complaining about that. They're just they're really far left, and they're forced into following in a unanimous type of manner. It's really, thank God we won.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I mean, thank God is right. And I was really happy the president talked about the waste, the fraud, the abuse, slashing regulations, unleashing America's energy. I was thrilled to hear all these things. And I know that you, as a guy who's very much about getting this economy back in shape with your work on financial services, Congressman, that must have made you happy as well.
Well, I mean, that's really what my specialty here is in Washington and in my district, from my background in business, my background at Department of Revenue, Secretary, working on the Small Business Committee, working on financial services, deregulation, competitive tax rates, just pro-growth, pro-growth, access to capital. I mean, to me, that's my main role here. But let's face it, on the same note, in less than 6 weeks, the president shut down the border without any new legislation. And he did. I mean, we're talking less than 200 a day, where under Biden, we were 5,000 plus, 7,000 a day.
Yeah.
And these spending cuts. I mean, it was great that President Trump went through some of the very factual, very truthful funding craziness that was coming out of the USAID and other places. I mean, you know, $59 million. We're all aware of the hotel for illegals up in New York, but the propaganda operation in Moldova, $32 million. I mean, the list went on. You know, all kinds of green energy initiatives in Africa, where they have an abundance of fossil fuels and natural gas. We're not doing anything there. And then the infamous $9 million that went towards a transgender opera in Colombia, in the country of Colombia. I mean, right. I mean,
transgender lab rats.
Look, all I know is we're on the right path. They're fighting against it. They are fighting to preserve bureaucracy. And ladies and gentlemen, we are fighting to preserve our Democrat Republic, our constitutional republic.
Yeah, well said. Yeah, and by the way, you can follow Congressman Muser on X at Rep Muser. He posts a lot of things on social media. You just posted a short time ago about the border and fentanyl. Obviously, the vice president's down there today at the border. President talked about it last night. He talked about going after the cartels. All these things matter. I mean, it's a really big deal. And again, you know, you had a situation last night where there was an opportunity for the Democrats to show bipartisanship, and they refused. They even on something like just remembering people who died of fentanyl deaths, the Democrats couldn't even show any empathy whatsoever.
Yeah, it was bad. And the president even pointed out, he said, listen, I could come up with the best things in the entire world.
Yeah.
Cures for cancer, cures for this, all kinds of wonderful things. And they would find every reason to show contempt for him. I mean, literal contempt for him. And it's really senseless. And now, of course, they veered some of that over to Elon Musk. They now have what we'll call EM derangement syndrome, EMDS. And here's a guy, you know, come on. He's the richest guy in the world. Some call him the smartest guy in the world. You know, I don't know if he's the smartest guy in the world. All I know is he knows how to get some pretty cool things done, that's for sure. But we're trying to rid or minimize, eliminate wherever possible, waste, abuse, and fraud. And he's demonized over it. I mean, there are eligibility requirements that the president talked about on Social Security. They exist strongly on Medicaid and Medicare. We are not going to cut Medicaid or Medicare. There's not a Republican I can talk to that wants to do that, or President Trump. But nevertheless, where there's waste, abuse, and fraud, that is going to be figured out. And even the CBO, by the way, pointed out nearly $100 million in those two categories. And you know what, Rich, I got to bring up. And then you got Then you got governors like DeSantis and Greg Abbott and Kemp in Georgia and in Oklahoma and in Indiana and in Tennessee and that are all about embracing fiscal sanity, limited government and pro-growth initiatives, ridding their cities of crime, ridding their cities of sanctuary cities, arresting appropriately criminals that are also here illegally. And then you have our governor in Pennsylvania, you know, Josh Shapiro, and you got a district attorney by the name of Krasner, Larry, let him go, Larry, that are contrary to this, completely yep. contrary to the direction that our country voted for. And that's a shame. That's going to leave Pennsylvania behind. And everybody out there has got to keep that in mind. If we want to turn things around, we had two very weak governors in a row. I mean, Wolf was might as well not have had any leadership whatsoever, except when it comes to doing things that were against our economic opportunities. And then Josh, you know, talk about getting things done. Okay, what has he gotten done? A lot of talk, no action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you tweeted out a couple hours ago, big government politician doing big government things, because Governor Josh Shapiro signed an executive order today to fill critical public service vacancies in Pennsylvania right. by recruiting talented, experienced federal employees and streamlining hiring process. So instead of cutting yeah. government, Democrats are looking to expand it every single way they possibly can. It's just the contrast yeah. here is amazing.
I stand corrected. He is getting something done. He's making the bureaucracy and the spending a lot larger in Pennsylvania. You're right. That's not helping small business. It's not helping families. It's not making Pennsylvania more of an exciting place to live. It's not improving the infrastructure in Pittsburgh. It's not ridding crime in Philly. But yeah, the number yeah. of employees on the state level will get broader. But it's not even just that. Look, there are great state employees. We know that. Hell, I was a Secretary of Revenue for 4 years. Okay, and you know what? Happy about it, proud of it, and some great people working with us. But that's not the idea. The idea is that government is not an employment agency. We've got to stay lean and deliver for the taxpayers. We need to create more taxpayers, not more taxes. And you know what? Down here, the Democrats, they're going to vote against our reconciliation bill. That's going to impose a huge tax on everybody: small yeah. business, families, large business, investors, everyone. Why? So they can spend even more than the $2 trillion of debt they put us in, and even more than the $51 billion budget that the Shapiro administration proposed. So there's a left way and a right way.
Before I let you go, I got to ask you, when the president comes from a real estate background, obviously he was a developer. There was a point in the speech last night, he really resonated with me when he talked about how we need to have approvals for things in 10 days. They'll take 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and then they'll say no. Many times what they'll try to do is they'll try to bankrupt people. The government will just do everything they possibly can to shut that down. That really resonated with me, because I know how many businesses out there, small and large, are frustrated by that, or developers that want to build and employ people, create jobs. And, you know, you got people that stand in their way through regulations.
Well, you just, again, hit the nail on the head. And I think actually the biggest problem in Pennsylvania is the heavy regulatory environment coming out of all of the agencies that report to the governor's office. And that should be job one. Those should be streamlined. And you don't even hear them talking about that. The DEP, to many, stands for Don't Expect Permits. And that hasn't changed since the Wolf days. That could be corrected by anybody with leadership. And here in Washington, same thing. I mean, as you increase the size of bureaucracies, you are increasing the size of regulations. And by the way, President Trump last night, and I think that if I were governor of Pennsylvania, I would also proclaim that for every new regulation, we're going to eliminate 10. When Trump was first term, he said we're going to eliminate 2. They did far better than that. So for every new regulation,
They're gonna, and by the way, every regulation needs to have a fiscal impact on it before it passes. So the American people are aware of what that new regulation is going to cost, but we should be eliminating 10. Just like the Trump agenda is, Pennsylvania needs to adopt the same.
Yeah, well said, my friend. Well, hopefully you're thinking about running for governor. Congressman Dan Muser, follow him on X at Rep Muser. Always a pleasure. I appreciate your time today and a busy day. Thank you.
You know, yeah, it is a busy day, Rich, but I'm so glad you asked me to be on. Absolutely my pleasure. You're the best. Have a great evening.
We'll talk soon, my friend.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, listen, Emmons Roofing and Siding, the real deal, they get the job done. They get the job done right. They get the job done the first time. I'm talking about savings right now of 10%. 10% off roofing, siding, windows, and doors. Everything to make your home able to withstand the elements and look better from the curb, more beautiful, and increase your home's value, too. So Emmons, we used them 10 years ago in our first house. They did the roof. We have a lifetime warranty on that roof with the Owens Corning shingle, the best in the business. Then we said, let's do the windows. They replaced doors for us. In this new house that we bought, they had to replace some skylights and some doors for us. They did a great job. They even renovated the bathroom in our old house, and my wife was thrilled. That's right. Emmons even has a bathroom remodeling division. So it's raining out right now. Think about your home, whether you live in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, or the Jersey Shore. Emmons Roofing and Siding will do a great job for you, and you'll save money. 10% off inflation relief discount with Emmons Roofing. .com. So just go there today. Matt and Stephanie, the entire team, dedicated to your customer satisfaction, and the job will be done right, guaranteed.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.